welcome to Mental Health Insights. I'm here with Dr. Roland today, and Dr. Roland is the first person that I've had on this podcast that is not a licensed therapist. He's actually a functional medicine doctor. So welcome, Dr. Roland.
Hey, thanks for having me on, man.
Yeah, I wonder, even just while we're starting, can you just tell us a little about yourself and actually what got you into functional medicine in the first place?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So my name is Dr. Jacob Roland. A lot of people know me as Dr. Jake. Well, initially, I had no interest in functional medicine at all because I didn't know anything about it. I had never even heard of it. Kind of got my start in healthcare as an aerospace med tech in the Navy. And I was on my way to medical school, and I just kind of got bored with how simplistic it was. You know, you walk in, maybe spend 5 to 10 minutes with the doctor, and you leave with a pill for each symptom that you have, and you leave, you know, having no idea why you have that symptom in the first place. So didn't really want anything to do with that. So I decided to, you know, pursue other avenues, and I became ill. Started developing really weird symptoms, like my lymph nodes were swelling, my hair was falling out, terrible brain fog and fatigue, anxiety, depression. And I was in my 20s, and all of these things came out of nowhere, and I had no explanation for it. And but I knew how to diagnose. I knew how to, you know, order, you know, blood work and how to interpret it. So I ordered my own blood work and saw some things that were concerning. Went to the medical doctor after that, and they told me that they thought that I had lymphoma. That was very scary to me. And
right.
Long story short, I spent several months after that going from specialist to specialist to specialist with no answers. They were able to rule out a lot of the scary stuff, but it was like, we don't know what's wrong with you, and we don't really have any advice for you as to what you should do next. So I started being my own healthcare advocate and started doing some research, come across functional medicine and how it focuses on getting to the root cause of disease. And I saw a functional medicine doctor and that specialized in environmental type illnesses, because I had made the connection that I noticed I felt better outside than inside. And the doctor I saw was able to do a workup and was able to determine that it was mold that was making me sick the whole time. And so we had an inspection done of our home, and sure enough, it was in the basement and had been there the whole time. And that's where I lived. I mean, that's where my office was. That's where I hung out. That was my man cave. And it was making me sick the entire time, and I had no idea. And it was that experience that led me to see firsthand the flaws in conventional medicine, you know, being told it's all in your head. We don't know what's wrong with you. And here you go. Just take some meds and be on your way. And I was like, hey, this is what I want to do. I want to do functional medicine. This got me better. I know that this situation is not unique to me, and I want to help those that were in my situation.
Right. I think that even some people that are listening to this may be able to feel a certain amount of truth in that. I know that that's how my wife and I came across functional medicine as well, where going to specialist to specialist to specialist and ruling out some of the scary things, but never really quite figuring out what was going on. And I think that like functional medicine itself is something where it's very slow and tries to progress. And functional medicine just takes a look at a lot of different other factors and trying to understand things that are going on. Like, I know that even you and I spoke, whereas you might meet with a functional medicine doctor for an hour just to talk about things, whereas a traditional doctor, you might be there for like half hour, 15 minutes or mm-hmm. anything like that. And so like, it's just good to know about those different facets. So I love that you said that too, with in regards to whenever you were getting poisoned by this mold, that you started developing things like anxiety. You started developing things like depression. You said your hair started falling out. The lymph nodes started to swell. And I think that's super important, because there are times where we are contending with mental health related things whether or not it's depression or anxiety. And we're maybe seeing someone like me, right? They're seeing a therapist and maybe they're making progress. And for some reason, it just still sticks around, or they're having to consistently cope with it and just manage it. And they might be someone that have different medical issues. So one of the things that I want to know from you is, what are some of the things that people may be suffering with, or what are some of the things that are symptoms or challenges that people are facing that might normally lead them to seeking out someone like you?
So that's a great question. It's a question I get a lot from patients who are experiencing mood type disorders, is what do you think could cause this? And I mean, the list is very long, but I'll just mention some of the most common. So we live in a very toxic world, very toxic world. Some studies estimate that we're exposed to over 200 chemicals just going about our daily business. I mean, that's not counting, the people who say they're a hairdresser and they're in a salon where chemicals are being sprayed around all day. Or maybe you work at a job site where you're exposed to a lot of chemicals, like farmers. You know, where I'm from, it's mostly farmers. So they're exposed to chemicals all day long. But that's not what these studies are talking about. They're just talking about the average person, over 200 and something chemicals every day. And those add up. Those add up. It's called your total toxic burden, or your total toxic load. These chemicals are such small amounts that they don't cause damage immediately, but they build up over time until, bam, you've reached the threshold to where you're now symptomatic. Mold is huge, especially here in St. Louis. Everybody's got a basement. And what's scary about the mold piece is that you can have mold in your home, not see it, not smell it, and yet it be poisoning you all the same. There's a common misconception that mold only causes allergies. And that's true of mold spores. Mold spores do cause allergies, but the spores are so large that they can't get down deep into your lungs and into your blood and circulate and cause a lot of damage. Now, it's the mycotoxins that mold spores produce. They're so small, you can even absorb them through your skin. They can pass through building materials like drywall, plastic, and you have no idea. You can't see them, smell them. You just know one day that you're got anxiety for no reason. No traumatic event has happened. You're not under a large amount of stress. You're just developing anxiety or depression. Not only mold, heavy metal toxicity, people that, well water, work in occupations, that they're exposed to those heavy metals. Gut infections is huge. That's also really huge. I mean, neurologically, the brain and the gut, they're inseparable. I mean, there's been several studies done on the gut brain connection. Mm-hmm. And we know through the vagus nerve, that longest nerve in the body, 10th cranial nerve. We know that 90% of the communication that travels through that nerve isn't going from the brain to the gut. It's going from the gut to the brain, which tells us that the gut has a lot more influence over the brain than vice versa, which is not, what common wisdom would tell you. You would think the brain's the control center of everything. So that it's not the gut that has that much of an influence over the brain. It's the other way around.
All right. Let me cut in real quick. So I think this is something that's important to even just, so someone may be listening to this and they may be like, well, why does these mold toxins end up causing anxiety? And I think it's important to mention that even though we may not be consciously aware that our body is building up, or it's like getting there, the toxicity level is increasing in our body. Our body knows. And whenever our body knows and it senses a threat, just like we've talked about in a lot of our anxiety episodes that we've done, the body will respond to a threat. And the way that the body responds to the threat is by going into that stress response. And an overactive stress response is one of the many things that can cause anxiety. It's one of the many things that causes the racing thoughts or the racing heart. It's one of the many things that can cause like high blood pressure or anything like that. And it's something that we're not even aware of, which is true most of the time in regards to chronic anxiety anyway.
Mm-hmm. So how exactly mold toxins or mycotoxins cause depression and anxiety and really any symptom, it really relates to how small they are. They are so small that you can absorb them into your skin. They get down deep into your lungs and into your bloodstream. And once they're in circulation, they now can travel really anywhere in your body that they're small enough to fit, which is really anywhere, to include crossing the blood-brain barrier and now entering your brain. And once you get something in the brain, it's really hard to get it out. So they sit in there and the concentration of them builds up, causing inflammation in your brain. And when brain inflammation happens, you start experiencing cognitive symptoms. Some of those are depression, anxiety, brain fog, fatigue. And I know whenever I was going through it, you know, I would experience depression and anxiety, but then these toxins were impacting my life so much. It was decreasing performance professionally. It was, you know, interfering with my relationships. And then me seeing those declines in my professional life and my personal life stressed me out even more, which made me more depressed and more anxious. And it just snowballed after that.
The vicious cycle.
Very much so. Very much so.
So then while you're already starting to fall into this hole physically due to things that are happening in your body, then sometimes that emotional toll can show up. And I think that's something that's important is this is a lot of times the point that someone might go to a doctor and they might be prescribed a different a medication. And this is something that I talked a little bit about on a medication episode I did a little bit a while ago, but I think it's something that's good to even revisit here is that there are times where we can be prescribed medication and the medication just isn't functioning correctly, or it's not doing what a doctor may think that it's going to do. And a lot of times it's because that it's not the actual type of symptoms that was diagnosed, or it's not the actual correct diagnosis. We see this all the time with some things like ADHD is a good one, where it's actually an improper diagnosis and the medication may not actually work the way that it's intended.
Exactly. Exactly. And whenever you go to your medical doctor with these symptoms, like we talked about before, you maybe spend 10 minutes with them. So little time, they just don't have the time to do a thorough investigation to see if, to even consider environmental causes. And, you know, and that's not to disparage medical doctors or say that they're bad doctors. It's a lot of them are just handcuffed by this insurance, you know, based system that is only going to pay them so much money for spending that little time with you. You see what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. They're handcuffed. They're forced to work in this box if they want to be able to make a living. And, you know, there's really not much time other than to recognize the symptoms of anxiety, depression, and then medicate appropriately based on their training. Right. And if it's an environmentally caused illness that they're going back to that environment that made them sick in the first place, that medication is going to have little to no effect.
Right.
Because the root cause isn't addressed.
I wonder, we talked a little bit about environmentally caused illnesses and things that are someone that a functional doctor might assess for. If someone is interested in finding out more information about environmentally caused illnesses, what's a resource for them or where might they search just to even learn a little more about it?
So there's a few doctors that I would recommend you reaching out to on not necessarily reaching out to them, but finding them on Google and social media. So one is Dr. Jill Krista. She wrote the book called Break the Mold. It was actually she was the first resource that I reached out to. I just happened to find her on Google. She's got a lot of really good videos and information on mold a great book called Break the Mold. And also Dr. Neil Nathan. He's written a book about it. Dr. Richie Shoemaker, his website, what is the name of his website? I don't remember what the name of his website is off the top of my head.
Yeah, if you Google him, you'll be able to find it.
Yep, Dr. Richie Shoemaker. Yeah, those three would be great resources, as well as my Instagram at Dr. Jake Rowland. I'm posting frequently about mold, not just mold, but you know, all of the other conditions that I treat as well.
So it sounds like that the people that may come to see a functional medicine doctor, they've already tried a lot of different routes. And by the time that they come to you, and maybe they're already suffering some of the stuff, and this may even be while they're seeing someone like me, right? They may be seeing a therapist or a counselor. Give me a sense, right? If someone's listening to this and they're like, hey, maybe I should see a functional medicine doctor, what would an initial session look like, or what would an initial appointment look like?
So a lot of functional medicine doctors do things differently, but I can speak to what I do and kind of what you should expect from a functional medicine doctor if you go to right. see someone who claims to be one. Is the very first visit is a really, really in-depth history, because the first day that I see you, it's not the first day of your life. As I said before, you know, these things build up. You know, you don't just wake up one day with a disease. There's been something underneath, some sort of dysfunction that started, and like a domino effect, it just knocks over one and then another and another until bam, you have symptoms, and which leads to a diagnosis. So I have people fill out, you know, 4 or 5 pages worth of paperwork that I pour over, ask a ton of questions, and I use that information to then decide, okay, what testing needs to be done. And this whole time, I'm not getting all this information and doing the testing just so that I can figure out what label to give you. Me diagnosing you with depression, anxiety, fibromyalgia, irritable bowel syndrome, me just giving you that label didn't help you. It doesn't help you. Only giving you that label and then telling you this is the root cause of that, and this is how we're going to address it so that you don't have this label anymore, and so that you're not married to the healthcare system for the rest of your life. And again, all the testing, all the history, it's root cause focused so that you can get real long lasting results and get back to your life. I want you to spend your time and money on vacations, not seeing me or another doctor.
Yeah. And I think there's something important about what you said, is so that, like, taking this history to get a good idea of, like, hey, are there possible environmental factors? Is it have to do, like, hey, you've moved every couple of years, but you really felt really good here, but not so good in this area? You know, does it have to do with diet? Does it have to do with different places that you've worked or anything? Just trying to really get a good idea of this person that's sitting there to get to the root cause, right? If you are suffering depression because there's inflammation in the brain, and we know that there's inflammation in the brain, that might look very different, or that treatment plan or that avenue may look very different than if you're suffering from depression because you have zero energy.
Exactly.
And you actually can't get out of bed.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. It's if you're not looking for the root cause and addressing that, you're completely missing the boat. Any intervention that's implemented in a patient, if it's not addressing the cause, it's going to have little to no benefit, or it's just temporary. It's just a Band-Aid. As soon as you stop taking it, symptoms will come right back.
Right. Right. I wonder, I'm sitting here listening, and I know that we talked about, like, the environmental factors, and we kind of talked about, like, all right, so this initial session that someone might have, if they see someone like you, is that really in-depth history. What is kind of like the next step? Like, is that whenever you determine, like, all right, what kind of tests that we need to do to try to figure out the root cause, or what might the next appointments look like?
So again, that first appointment is a really in-depth history, and I use that information to determine what testing needs to be ordered to figure out the cause. And then the next visit is where I go over all of your testing with you and show you how this testing explains these symptoms that you have in your history. And I kind of tell their story back to them. Like, you know, remember this when it happened as a child? That's where I think all this started, which led to this symptom, and then this symptom, and this symptom, which then led to the diagnosis, and how addressing this issue that started decades ago is the key to resolving all of these symptoms so that you can get back to your life. And then the follow-up appointments are really us just fine-tuning that initial treatment plan that we implement in the second visit after we go over your test results. So second visit, we go over test results, implement a treatment plan, and then all follow-ups are just fine-tuning that, because there's no cookie cutter approach. It's not one size fits all. We just start somewhere, and then we add to and take away depending on how you respond and what the test results say on follow-ups.
Right. I'm wondering, so for someone that's listening to this and they're like, maybe I'm not feeling so well, it's been like this for a while, and they're like, maybe this would be something for me, this would be something to consider. I wonder, is that something that you would recommend? It's like, hey, just trying to be hyper aware of, you know, like you said, hey, whenever I was outside, I noticed that I feel better, or versus whenever I'm inside. Or maybe I notice, like, whenever I eat in this manner, I feel a lot better. Or I notice whenever I do this or that, would some of the, I guess, how am I trying to say this? Would that be included in some of the ways that you're trying to determine some of the root causes of this? So, like, would that be something that'd be very important for someone that's coming, someone like you, to know about themselves?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Any connection that you can make about your environment, and not just, you know, a structure that you're in, like your home or office, but people that you're around. You're well aware that being around a toxic person has a huge impact on how you feel, and not right. only how you feel emotionally, but your physiology. It actually changes your physiology. Stress and our thoughts, they kill people. They do. They kill people. So yes, absolutely. Foods, environments, to include people, places, and times.
Right. This is just a curious question I'd have then. So what location on planet Earth would be the most safe from these 200 chemicals that an average person runs into a day?
That's a very good question. You know, I'm
like Antarctica or something.
Yeah. Yeah. Honestly, somewhere where there's not civilization. You get a bunch of people together, motivated by greed, like their environment, the quality of the environment will drastically decline. A lot of these companies that produce these chemicals, they're not stupid. They know what they're doing. But you know, having, you know, implementing regulations to regulate, you know, the production of these chemicals, it interferes with profits, and, you know, that that's good for us, but not good for them, unfortunately.
Right. So it almost sounds like I wonder, for your recommended treatment of some things, do you ever recommend going on a vacation out where no one else is?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And I have had people do that. Patients that we suspect that it's their home, it's their environment, I will actually recommend, hey, if it's been a long time since you've had a vacation, because they're usually under a high amount of stress, because just like myself, the decline in their health is causing issues at work, mm-hmm. and with relationships. And sometimes you just need a break from all that, even if you're not suffering from mold. You need a break from all that. And that vacation, one, removes them from a stressful work environment that it may be a great environment, but it may be stressful now because their performance is declining and their boss is, you know, on them about it. And it's an opportunity to see if you feel different in a totally different environment than you were before.
I think that there's a lot of people that are listening to this that are like, yeah, I always feel better on vacations. Right. But I think there's also something important. What you're saying is that there's an opportunity that whenever you go somewhere, you may feel nice because you're not working or anything. But if you feel physically better because of the condition of, you know, the environment that you're in is so much different than that, that's something that's telling.
Yep. Yep. And some people notice that they feel worse on vacation. So my patients that have noticed this, it's because their hotel room had mold in it. I've had patients call me and say, hey, you asked me to go on vacation, and for some reason I feel worse here. And I've asked them, check the filter in the air conditioner in your hotel room. Hotels are a huge hot spot for mold. Huge hot spot for mold.
Right. Well, I think that someone listening to this, and they might be a little panicky or they might be a little discouraged about things. Let's say that they are listening to this and they're like, oh my gosh, mold might be everywhere and it might be affecting me and I might be getting these mold toxins. Give us a little bit of hope. Is there some type of treatment to help with that?
Absolutely. For some people, it's literally just removing them from the environment. That's it. And if the, for the people that it's not that simple, just removing them from the environment, there's definitely hope. Mold damages our detoxification organs like liver, kidneys. And the first step is binding the toxins, you know, giving you some nutritional support, or sometimes prescription grade binders to bind the toxins, and then supporting your physiology, targeting your detoxification organs. So now that you can get rid of these bound toxins, and then, you know, treating any other issues you might be having as a result of mold. So leaky gut is also really common, you know, damage to your intestinal lining, where, you know, have gaps in between the cells in your intestinal lining, leading to your toxins and undigested food particles getting in your blood, causing inflammation. So it really just differs from person to person, but there's definitely hope. The first step is just finding out that you have mold issues though.
Right. Or if it's something else besides mold. Right.
Right. And it's totally treatable. I was in bad shape, thought I was dying. And now you would never even know that it had happened to me.
Right. I wonder, you doing this type of work, I know that I'm impressed with it sometimes, so I can only imagine how it might be for you. Are you impressed at the body's ability to recover from things?
Oh, so much so. I mean, if you would have seen me, you know, years ago when this happened to me, you would have thought, like, there's no way there's not going to be some severe, you know, lingering things. The body has an amazing capability to heal itself if you give it the tools to do so and remove it from the environment that's causing the damage.
Right. I think that if someone's listening to this, I think one of the hard things about functional medicine is that one of the differing aspects than conventional medicine is that there's not always the same level of research around it. And this is something that you and I have talked about. And it's something that's challenging. And I think that a lot of people, whenever they tried conventional medicine and it hasn't worked, they're more likely to kind of open up to the possibility that there's something else. And I think that's important for someone that's even listening to this to just know that this is something that there's a lot of doctors that practice functional medicine, and there's a huge shift in the medical field to acknowledge more and more that sometimes, you know, we don't always know what's causing things, and functional medicine doctors, they sometimes do. And even just like suspending the idea that a functional medicine doctor is still a doctor and they're still investigating, they're still looking into things, and there's still research being done. I think that's something that's really important, because a lot of us, whenever we go through school, right, we're taught that, hey, like, you look at research and you listen to research and everything. And I think it's important to know that the research is there, the results are there, And going to see a functional medicine doctor is, in a lot of ways, it's no different than going to see your doctor now, except you get more time and there's a different perspective with it. There's right. a different experience around it. So I do want to make special mention of that to anyone that may be hesitant about seeing someone like you. And I wonder if you may even have something, like if someone's listening to this and they're hesitant about seeing a functional medicine doctor, what are maybe some things that they should know or they should consider?
So first off, functional medicine doctor, that's really just an umbrella term mm-hmm. that encapsulates any healthcare practitioner that takes a root cause focused approach. Those are medical doctors. Those are dentists. Those are osteopathic doctors, chiropractors, naturopathic doctors, even dentists, and, you know, nurse practitioners, physician's assistants. And there's nothing that I do that I don't have published research to support that treatment plan or the use of whatever testing method or supplement or medication I'm recommending people.
You aren't waving a wand over someone and
no, and
banishing the
not at all. Everything that I do is evidence-based, and you should, if you're going to see a functional medicine doctor, you should ask them, hey, what is the evidence in support of this that you're having me do? And if they can't produce it, that kind of means that they're doing it blindly or haven't taken the time to research what it is that they're having you do. If you don't read 3 to 5 hours of research a week, you will very quickly become outdated in your approach, very quickly.
And I think that, and you may experience this more than I do, I think a lot more people are becoming more accepting of functional medicine and the role that it plays in our society now and the gaps that it's starting to fill. And I love that you said that the functional medicine doctor is an umbrella term, which is not something that I've ever really considered. But now that I think about it, it does make sense. I have met a variety of doctors and specialists that kind of fall into that category without me ever actually making that connection. So I wonder if someone's listening to this and they're like, well, I don't really know if I need to see a functional medicine doctor. Can you just list like some of the issues or the challenges that they may be going through that maybe functional medicine has been really successful at treating? Maybe like top five or top 10 or something.
Okay. So I would say chronic fatigue. You are tired all the time and not getting any better. You're dependent upon caffeine, irritable bowel syndrome.
Look, Dr. Roland is saying this because he saw me drinking coffee during this conversation.
Well, if I'm in that category also. So chronic fatigue, irritable bowel syndrome, chronic digestive symptoms, constipation, diarrhea, gas, bloating, thyroid type symptoms. So hair falling out, dry, brittle fingernails, fatigue, brain fog, depression, gaining weight. Don't know why. Can't lose it no matter what you do. Migraines, ADHD, depression, anxiety, things like that, and many more. There's so many things that functional medicine can help, because there's usually a root cause to most issues. It's unfortunate that, you know, more practitioners aren't taking the root cause approach.
Well, and it's interesting. You and I are talking about this, and more and more like therapy in general is usually a fairly cooperative field.
Absolutely.
We have to be big case managers and understanding a lot of environments and reaching out to people. And it is I know quite a few therapists, even off the top of my head, that work directly with different functional medicine practitioners. And I think that one of the important things that you're talking about is there could be some type of thing in your environment or some type of thing that, you know, like the just being exposed to so many things that is causing a physical issue that then progresses into a mental issue. And if you're starting to address some of the mental issue, and it might not be able to go completely away, right? You might not, no matter how much you go to see a therapist for depression, and if there is something that is causing like your brain to, to swell, or there is some inflammation going on in your brain, it doesn't matter how much you attempt talk therapy, there has to be another support in there. There has to be, someone that is addressing the physical symptoms that go on. And then once those physical symptoms are okay, or at least at the same time, then the mental health can really come around. Like you're talking about, I just thought about this because if so many clients where this might happen to, where they might go see a functional medicine doctor and they start to feel physically better, and the mental health issues are still there because, they've already gone through, sometimes years of feeling tired, of feeling just incompetent or incomplete, feeling like they just aren't doing enough, or they aren't right. Getting it right. And being able to help yourself feel physically, I think it's important to say that you can feel better physically, and that mental health stuff can still be there, and you can still work through it, and you can still get better in the right state of mind as well. And having this approach, this collaborative approach where, hey, maybe there is a functional medicine issue that's going on that can be resolved by a functional medicine practitioner. And then any mental health challenges that I'm going through will be that much easier or that much more successful in addressing.
Yep. So there's a couple scenarios I'd like to touch on there that you reminded me of. So I've got patients that are struggling with chronic diseases that it's affected their lives in a negative way, so much so that it's caused trauma. Like they're now divorced. They've, isolated themselves so much because they felt so sick that now all of their relationships are messed up. And then now I get them better. Their chronic disease is now better, but then they still have all this emotional trauma because of what the chronic disease caused. Does that make sense?
Right.
That's where I find great partnerships with therapists, because I don't have the tools to deal with that. I have trouble dealing with my own emotions and thoughts. There's no way I could help somebody else. And then on the flip side of that, I've got patients that have a chronic disease, but they're not seeing me yet. They're seeing a therapist, and they feel emotionally better, but then they still have all of these symptoms. And the therapist was really good at getting them to a point where they could cope with their disease and be happy, but they still got the disease. And then they right. come see me, then we fix the disease, and now they're whole. Not only are they in a good mood, but they're not struggling with these symptoms anymore. So it's two situations that I find myself partnering with therapists the most.
Right. Well, there is a really wonderful therapy approach that is called acceptance and commitment therapy. And it's about just helping a person feel better about being in basically a shitty situation, being able to accept different things. And I think if there's anything that we're encouraging you here today, is that you can accept that maybe you're in a troubling situation, but you can also accept that there might be some things, the other things that are going on that you can get help with, whether. Yeah. And I think that's just so key, is even just that hope part that we as people, we as a society, we're continuing to learn and we're continuing to understand things that are going on. And some of these things that we haven't ever known before, and some things we do know now about how we can help people that have really, really complex issues. And right. that really gives me a lot of hope. I know just being as a person gives me a lot of hope for people that are really struggling, that there is a way, that there is a huge portion of people that are really struggling out there that have these physical ailments and have these mental health ailments, and that there is a way forward, and there is a way that you know, they just don't have to live in this way that they are right now.
Right. You know, whether you're religious or not, whether you believe in an afterlife or not, I think for the most part, most of us can agree that this is the only life in this one body on this side of the afterlife, or lack thereof, if that's your view, that you're going to have. Don't spend it feeling terrible. Don't spend it miserable, because you don't have to. You don't have to. There is something more. There is something better. And I'm living proof of that.
Right. You gave us some resources earlier. I wonder if there's any other resources that you feel like may be helpful for people that are just thinking about this. Or I know you even talked about a little bit about your Instagram. But any resources that you might be able to give people that are listening to this, that are really curious about reading more or understanding more, or even just like, what, you know, how they would get in contact with you or anything like that.
So a great resource would, and a good way to get in contact with me would be our website, RolandFunctionalMedicine.com. I practice with my wife, Dr. Natalie, and you know, she sees, you know, all the people that I don't see, women with hormonal issues, fertility, that kind of thing. Our Facebook page, Roland Functional Medicine, Facebook page would be also a really good resource. And, you know, there's a bunch of other resources that maybe I'm not thinking of right now, that I could, you know, refer people to. Just shoot me a message on Instagram or Facebook, or give us a call, and I'd be happy to you know, point you in the direction that I think would be helpful for you.
Perfect. So the best way for people to get in contact with you would be through that Facebook page. Is that what you said?
Yes. My email address at drrolandjacob@gmail.com. would also be a good way to get in contact me. So yeah, Instagram DMs, Facebook, or just shoot me an email.
Perfect. Well, Dr. Roland, I really appreciate you taking the time and just talking to me, especially about some of the ways that some of these physical symptoms that we may have, or these things that are going on in our body, cause, and they contribute to different mental health issues, and the way that we kind of need to think about how they interact, and the way that we need to think about treating them.
Awesome. Thank you for having me. It's been a pleasure.
And I do want to do a disclaimer at the end of this. So I know that I usually have it at the end of the episodes, but I want to specifically do it at the end of this episode, that me and Dr. Roland, while we're talking here, we are in no way, you know, telling you different medical advice. We're not telling you to take anything, or we're not telling you to do anything. In order to do that, you should see a doctor, like Dr. Roland, or, you know, to actually be able to be assessed and get proper medical advice. Again, we are not suggesting that you do anything besides see a professional to get maybe a full view on what's going on. So I hope that you guys enjoyed this episode. We appreciate you guys joining us. And until next time, I wish you well. Thank you for listening to our show. This podcast is designed to provide accurate and reliable information, and those that appear on the show are all licensed professionals in the area of mental health counseling. We are in no way rendering legal or medical advice, only information to help serve you better in making decisions in your life. If you need a professional, you should find one. Music you are listening to is called Lobby Time, and that is by Kevin MacLeod and licensed through Creative Commons.